The topics and opinions expressed in the following show are solely those of the hosts and their guests and not those of W4CY Radio, its employees, or affiliates. We make no recommendations or endorsements for radio show programs, services, or products mentioned on air or on our web. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to W4CY Radio, or its employees, or affiliates. Any questions or comments should be directed to those show hosts. Thank you for choosing W4CY Radio.
Draw me close to you. Never let me go. And lay it all down again. To hear you say that I'm a friend.
Good day. The Almighty Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. If you die as an unbeliever, your spirit will live for a very long time as a disembodied ancestor spirit or demon. The Creator has said regarding unbelievers, why would I want someone to spend eternity with me when they do not believe I exist? If you die as a believer without any form of relationship with the Creator, you will end up in the outer darkness, a cold, black, terrible place with weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Your teeth, the trash heap of heaven. Father has said concerning such believers, why would I want someone to be close to me in heaven, which inherently means I will give them great prestige and authority, if they do not have a deep personal relationship with me and have not proven to me that they can be trusted in this life? In stark contrast, if you make a real effort to seek relationship with the Almighty, the rewards in the life to come are huge. A glorious resurrected body, great prestige, great authority, and a permanent close relationship with the Creator and with Yahushua, who you may mistakenly know as Jesus. To put this all in context, the Almighty has said, I created human beings, this planet and this universe, for men and women to be my friends, my companions, to explore and learn and develop together. My greatest grief is that almost no person understands this, let alone seek such a relationship with me. We're going to continue with the teaching on the essence of cleansing and deliverance, part two. Overview of today's program. The broadcast continues the detailed discussion of the essence of cleansing and deliverance. We look at the consequences of sexual promiscuity and tattoos and piercings, and then we continue with the cleansing process. We then look at the impact of breaking the Ten Commandments on demonic infestation. Then look at other personal demons, and then start a discussion on cleansing your dwelling. Finally, we will examine the state of your relationship with the Almighty Creator. By way of introduction, who am I? James Robertson. I have a doctorate in engineering, and I'm a strategic management consultant. I have over 28 and a half years' experience of actively seeking to draw close to the Almighty, following a dramatic encounter with him on the 12th of March 1993, when he spoke to me audibly in a locked room, and I knew for certain that he was real. I was confirmed in the Anglican Church at the age of 13 and served as an altar boy for a number of years from the age of 19. Eventually, married to an unbeliever, I became disenchanted with the hypocrisy in the church and backslid to a point where I was not even sure the Almighty existed. In this backslidden state, I embarked on an adulterous affair which, when it ended, left me desperate and suicidal. It was then that the Almighty spoke to me and I realized that my intellect had gotten me into a right mess and I chose to serve him faithfully for the rest of my life. In doing this, I applied my deep-seated aversion to failure, born out of an accident in early childhood, coupled to my engineering and military training of rigor and preventing failure, to my seeking of knowledge about Father. This journey led to numerous supernatural experiences, prayers answered, and clear communication with the Creator that forms the basis for what I teach in these programs. What is End Time Issue Ministries? It's the organizational vehicle for delivering my message through email articles, websites, this radio program, physical books, LinkedIn, Facebook, YouTube, SlideShare, and Twitter. What is this program? The Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you, It represents the essence of my message. See the website www.endtimeissueministries.org, that's endtimeissueministries, one word, .org, for more information. In particular, please see the compendium of important articles at the top of the menu that lists articles in a logical sequence relative to a typical journey with YAH. See also www.relationshipwithcreatorradio.com. It's relationshipwithcreatorradio.com, one word, or relationshipwithcreatorradio, one word, .com. Look at the show on the top menu and then podcasts on the drop-down for previous broadcasts, or search on Google for, quote, Relationship with Creator Radio, unquote. So let's resume the essence of cleansing and deliverance. And we were talking about the cleansing process. And I just want to take a little bit of a side journey here and talk about sexual promiscuity in particular. If you've been involved in multiple sexual relationships with people who are no longer part of your life, it is important that you at least shave your sexual organs and focus on cutting off all adulterous ties. We're talking here about symbolically shaving your body to cut, get rid of demonic ties. This is a complex subject in its own right. See the document on the Virgin's Covenant. See Essence of Message Re-Virgin's Covenant on the main menu. And also the document on separation of a man and a woman who were in sexual union. That's the Essence of Message Separation Men and Women, also on the main website menu. For guidance on how to deal with the spiritual consequences of multiple sexual partners who are no longer resident with you. Generally, you will need to pray to cut off the one flesh bonds on a case-by-case basis. Note that it is possible for a man to have a virgin's covenant with more than one woman, in which case that father expects that man to take responsibility for all the women involved, and father may not grant their petition to cut ties. I want to talk a little bit about tattoos and piercings. If you have tattoos or piercings, you may have blood covenants with a person or people who made the tattoo or piercing, and there may well be curses and demons associated with those items. Conventional single-ear piercings are acceptable, but may still have curses or demons associated with them. Conventional piercings are likely to be more problematic. The key thing here, folks, is if blood is shed, a blood covenant comes into existence, or potentially comes into existence. And if the person who is causing the blood to be shed is praying appropriately in the satanic realm, they can put all sorts of curses and stuff on you as they tattoo you or pierce you. If you have tattoos or piercings and realize that you are in error, pray, Father, I repent of having this tattoo or piercing cut into my flesh. I ask you to cut off all blood covenants that have come into existence and to remove any demons that are associated with it or them. If there are a large number of tattoos and piercings, you may need to deal with each tattoo or piercing one at a time. If you've been more heavily involved in Satanism and have pins and other artifacts embedded in your flesh, pray the same and be aware that there are heavy curses and demons associated with these artifacts. There are probably vows that you took that need to be renounced before demons will leave. Pray, Father, I repent of all vows that I have made associated with these pins and other artifacts, and I renounce all vows that I have made associated with these items. I ask you to forgive me and to cast out all demons associated with these vows and artifacts in the name of Yeshua. You may need to pray this multiple times on a case-by-case basis, with more information about the items and the vows. I once administered the process that we're talking about at the moment to a Satanist killer who came to believe in the Almighty. He came into a worship meeting, tried to kill the worship leader, but was stopped by a number of strong men in the congregation, and I arrived to find them sitting on top of him. When I took him outside and said, right, bring me a razor, I want to shave, cut off these curses, he looked at me in absolute panic because he had a whole lot of pins in his flesh. and he thought I was going to take the razor and cut them out. I didn't even know the pins existed at that stage. So I certainly wasn't planning to cut them out. But I symbolically passed the razor over them, cutting the connection between him and the demons associated with those pins. So to continue with the cleansing process, take a plastic cup of red grape juice or red wine, stand in a shower or bath, stand on a towel so that you don't slip, pray over the cup. Father, I ask that this grape juice or wine represent the blood of the covenant. As I anoint my body with it, I pray that you will cleanse me of all defilement. Speak to all demons that are attached to me, and as I anoint myself with the blood of the covenant, I command all demons that no longer have a legal right to be attached to me to leave in the name of Yeshua. Father, as I anoint myself, I ask you to send your mighty warring messengers to bind and cast out and send where you want to go all demons that no longer have a legal right to be attached to me. And I ask you to show me what I need to do to remove the legal rights of those that remain. I ask you to cleanse me of all defilement. Note that demons will only leave once the legal right has been removed through repentance, restitution, etc. This is a process and will take time, as in weeks, months, or years. Note that if you are in the 7 days of grace after first belief, it is much easier to clean up like this. So if you have just believed, I encourage you to go for this fully. Pour some grape juice or wine over your head and work it into your hair if you've not shaved your head. Progressively smear it all over your body, including in your mouth, your ears, and other apertures. Again, if you've been defiled sexually, ensure that you fully cover your sexual organs. So what we're doing here, folks, is first we're symbolically shaving to cut ties with the demons and to get rid of demons. Then we're washing with the blood of the covenant, which they can't stand. So as many demons as possible are going to leave when you do this. And only those that are strongly attached to a strong legal right are going to remain. Then take a plastic cup of olive oil, stand in a shower or bath. It's particularly important to stand on an old towel so that you do not slip, and have other old towels available to dry off with afterwards. Pray along the lines of, Father, I ask that this oil will represent the anointing of your spirit, and that as I anoint myself with this oil, that you will pour out your spirit upon me and cleanse me of all defilement. Anoint yourself as you did with the grape juice or wine. I generally wash afterwards in a bath of warm water after I've done this, unless I'm in a position to remain with the oil on my body for a while. Note that the objective is not to coat yourself with oil. It is to use the oil as a metaphor for the Spirit of the Almighty. And as you demonstrate your intention with the oil to receive anointing, that is infilling of the Spirit of the of Yah. Therefore, it is acceptable to bathe after you have completed this process. So, important here, folks, this is a different thing. You're asking the Spirit to cleanse you, but the main reason you're doing this is for infilling of the Spirit. I once, at a fairly early stage in my walk, was at a meeting, and one of the elders handed out a little bottle of olive oil for people to anoint themselves, and everybody was going around dabbling, sort of dabbing a little dab on their foreheads, etc. And it went around the room and came back to him, and I said, are you going to do anything with the rest of this bottle? He said, no. I said, can I have it? He said, yes. I took the bottle and I poured it out on my head. I think everybody thought I was crazy. I had olive oil dripping down my eyebrows and my nose and the back of my neck and everything. It was quite funny to see people's reaction, but I received a strong infilling of the Spirit as a result of that. So that's what the olive oil is about, is the infilling of the Spirit. So the next step is to immerse yourself. If you have access to a swimming pool or other body of clean water, this is the preferred option. You'll need to bathe in warm water with soap to remove the oil before you immerse in a swimming pool. If you do not have access to a large body of water, then immerse yourself in a bath tub filled as full as possible. You'll probably have to immerse different parts of your body in a progression, as unless the bath is very large or you are very small, you will not be able to fully immerse at one time. Either way, immerse three times and pray as follows. One prayer with each immersion in sequence. Number one, Father, as I immerse myself, I ask you to forgive me of all my sin and cleanse me from all defilement associated with my sin. Number two, Father, as I immerse myself, I ask you to immerse me in your set apart spirit and to fill me with your spirit. Number three, Father, as I immerse myself, I ask you to immerse me into your kingdom. As always, pray whatever you feel led to pray. See the article Immersion for Cleansing and Infilling with the Set Apart Spirit of Yah under the Anointed Life page on the website. The child menu item is Anointed Life Part 3, and the child of that is Immersion, for more information. So the first time that I immersed myself like this, I did it with three other gentlemen in a swimming pool. And one of the guys had the gift of seeing in the spirit. And as we immersed for the first time, he saw a large demonic sphinx fly off the end of the property. The third time that we immersed, he saw Yeshua, Jesus, walk down the steps of the swimming pool with his arms outstretched towards us. The first time I did this with somebody else was the Satanist that I mentioned a few minutes ago. We did it in May in South Africa in the Highveld, really cold, close to winter, and the water was freezing. And the first time I immersed him, he had an intense warmth flooded his body. The third time that I immersed him, he had a vision in which he saw the gates of heaven open and he walked into heaven. So this is very powerful stuff, folks, this symbolic stuff. So continuing with cleansing, as part of the seven-day program or as a distinct activity, cleanse your dwelling, as set out below. We'll talk about that a bit more towards the end of this program and then next week. Then either as part of the seven-day program or as a distinct activity, cleanse yourself in more detail with regard to demons as set out below. And again, we'll look at that in more detail in a minute. And then either as part of the seven-day program or as a distinct activity, do an in-depth audit of your life as set out below. We'll do that next week. Folks, as one comes from effectively serving Satan to serving Yah, there is a whole bunch of baggage and stuff and sin and error and demons and every sort of thing that oppresses everybody who comes from there. I'm not being ugly when I say you've got demons. Just about everybody on the planet's got demons. It's arduous to get rid of them. It takes determination, but it's worth it. So continuing, spend the 7 days of the fast. This is now if you're doing a seven-day fast, as I suggested last week. Spend the 7 days of the fast in prayer and study. Do whatever you find to do. There are over 2,100 articles on the website, www.endtimeissueministries.org, on a huge diversity of topics from which you will find answers to many questions. Some of these articles are highly inspired and anointed, and some less so. Some of the older articles in particular contain significant error, but Father has said that they should remain because there's truth amongst the error, and it is up to each person to discern the truth for themselves. When you find something you do not agree with, then pray about it and ask Father to show you the truth. He is the only source of all truth. See also the article Seek Truth, Not Error, under the page Seek Truth on the website. Seek Truth, Not Error is the child page for more information. Do not get stuck on my errors or what you perceive to be my errors. I do not claim to be without error, and if I were to know my errors, I would not have them. Also note that older articles are generally more likely to have error than newer articles, but even that cannot be guaranteed. Note also that if I spent my time editing old articles to correct what I've come to understand to be error, I would not have time to write the new things that Father gives me. See particularly the Essence Of series starting at the top of the website menu. So 2021, I published a steady stream of articles, most of which were Essence Of articles. Most of them are at the top third of the website menu. That they are largely a mature consolidation of my learnings around a diversity of topics. So if you're looking to get started with my teachings, I would suggest that the best thing is to start at the top of that menu and to work down. Some of them are quite lengthy articles. Some of them are fairly concise. But I would really encourage you to go for that. During this process of study and prayer, whether all day, every day for 7 days, or a few hours as you have time, do what you find to do in terms of repenting of sin, binding demons and commanding them to leave you, phoning up people you've wronged, repenting and asking for forgiveness, returning items you've stolen, etc. Where you discover that you have Virgin's Covenants in place, read the documents on the Virgin's Covenant at Essence of Messagery Virgin's Covenant for guidance, as well as the article on separation of a man and woman who are in sexual union at Essence of Message Separation Man and Woman for guidance. On the seventh day after you commence the above process, shave again, anoint with grape juice or wine again, and with olive oil again, and then immerse again. On the eighth day, shave again, anoint with grape juice or wine and olive oil again, and immerse again. If you do not have the resolve to anoint and immerse 3 times on the first, seventh, and eighth days, at least do this once. Folks, the spirit realm is strongly influenced by the symbolic. The symbolic actions that I've shared with you in the last few minutes and some of them that I spoke about last week have a profound impact. You would have seen with the examples that I shared with you about the immersion of the power spiritually of those acts. You're not necessarily going to have similar experiences, but you might not. Don't do it for the experiences. Do it for cleansing. Do it for getting right with Father. The more you clean up, the closer you will get to Father, and the more sustainable and enduring your relationship with Father will be. Right, let's talk about the Ten Commandments. A key element of the process of learning and cleansing set out above is that you come to understand accurately the Ten Commandments and deal with all components in terms of which you've been violating them. Note that in terms of modern Christian teaching and teachings by other major religions, the true interpretation of these commandments has become so masked with error that nearly all people are breaking nearly all of them most of the time. Following are the headlines. More detail on the website under the section on the commandments, essence of message regarding commandments. The overarching commandment is love Yah, the eternally self-existing, your mighty one, with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and all your strength, followed by love your neighbor as yourself. Fundamentally, if you do not believe in the Almighty at a deep level, you're not in the game. You're serving Satan. Note that serving Satan is the default position. You're born without belief in the Almighty, and you're required to take a conscious and strong decision to serve him. Until you do this, you're serving Satan and belong to Satan. Basically, the Ten Commandments, the first 4 commandments have to do with loving Yah, the Almighty Creator. And the remaining 6 commandments have to do with loving your fellow men and how you treat them. Basically, they're all 10 are given by Father, and they all relate to how we conduct our lives. And we'll talk more about that in a moment. Note also that children under the age of puberty take their spiritual standing from their father. So a believing woman married to an unbelieving man causes her children to be unbelievers before they reach the age of majority, unless they take a conscious decision themselves. If the father is a believer, they are classified as believers up to the age of majority. It is a major mistake for a believing woman to join herself to an unbelieving man, and even more so to bear him children. Once a child passes puberty, if they have not yet believed, then they are unbelievers, even if they were under the covering of their father up to that point. The commandments are as follows. Yah, the eternally self-existing, your mighty one, is one mighty one. You shall have no other mighty ones beside him, i.e. do not worship Jesus or Yeshua or Muhammad or Buddha, etc. Secondly, no idols. Includes not worshipping the Bible, the Quran, the Torah, or giving the Bible or Quran or Torah any special place, as well as not worshipping any artifacts like Buddha statues, etc. 3. Do not take the name of Yah, the eternally self-existing, in vain. Includes not calling Yah God or the Lord, not calling Yeshua Jesus, not having a yahoo.com email address, not using the Afrikaans word ja or the German word jawohl, etc. The thing with children is really important. If you go to the important videos page on the website, you'll find three or four YouTube videos of people who had near-death experiences. One of the things that comes out of that is that if a child is of a child of a believer is stillborn or dies at a very early age, they still go to heaven, and they are educated and taught in heaven until they become adults, in which case the sort of growth stops. So the thing to get here is if you're a believing woman and your children are the children of an unbelieving man, if they die early, they will become demons. If your children are the children of a believing man, they will go to heaven. It's a huge difference. Really important to be clear who you're going to marry. And there are not a lot of believing men to marry, so you need to keep that in mind. Number four, keep the Sabbaths. Includes observing the true seventh day, Saturday Sabbath, from sunrise Saturday to sunrise Sunday. Observing Passover, Pentecost, the Day of Trumpets, the Day of Atonement, and the first and eighth days of the Feast of Tabernacles. It also includes not observing the satanic feasts of Halloween, Christmas, New Year, Easter, Valentine's Day, etc. The Kaddish calendar from Kaddish Books at http://kaddish.co.za is a useful source of the dates of these set-apart days. Alternatively, you can use the Jewish dates, which may vary by a day or so. So that's Kodesh, Kodesh.co.za. Five, honor your parents. Includes obedience, not cursing, respect for your parents, not shutting them up in an old age home and visiting now and again when it suits you, but rather having them live with you, etc. Note that if you curse your mother or father, you will die. At an early stage of my walk with Father, I cursed my mother. And then I realized I was dying, and I read in Proverbs that he who curses his mother or father will die. And I repented, and the aging, the sudden premature aging stopped. Six, no murder. Includes not using abortive contraceptives, not having abortion, not abolishing the death penalty for murder, etc. And folks, please understand, there is no such thing as a permissible age of the fetus for abortion. At the instant of conception, that becomes a human being. And if you kill it after that, whether it's with contraceptives, whether it's with abortion, it's murder, you will face a death penalty and certainly time in hell if you do that. No adult, if you've used abortive contraceptives, if necessary, contact me and I'll tell you what to do about it. Number seven, no adultery. Includes recognizing that sex with a virgin initiates a lifetime blood covenant, that there's no such thing as sex before marriage. Sex is marriage. A man can covenant with many women. Sex with a woman who has a covenant with another man is adultery, etc. Unrighteous divorce by the man is adultery. Then no stealing. Eight, this includes the obvious forms of stealing as well as misrepresentation in sales sales discussions and sales material, overcharging, etc. A significant amount of widely accepted commercial practice at some level violates this commandment. In the life of believers, a widely perpetrated theft relates to teachings in churches that psychologically manipulate believers into giving large sums of money to the church in question based on misappropriation of Bible verses to suggest that the church is the house of God and that old commandments with regard to tithing and the giving of a tenth relate to the modern church. This might be valid if the church was teaching all truth and actively pointing people towards Yah and not the pastor or priest. But as an almost universal principle, this is not so. The church overall is in major error and is leading their followers into major error. And demons are rewarding the giving as part of a massive ploy to mislead believers into serving Satan instead of Yah. This ploy is almost entirely successful. If you die with unsecured debt, you're stealing. Number 9, no false witness or lying. This again has a bearing on advertising and marketing material, as well as a huge bearing on the church, which almost totally peddles lies about the matters of the Almighty. Note that all liars will have a part in the lake of fire and brimstone or hell, and that those who believe and act on the lies will still be judged and pay the price for sin committed in good faith. No coveting or lusting. This is a huge challenge in the world today. Most advertising is directed at getting people to covet things they do not own and cannot afford, or to get them to borrow money to buy things they really cannot afford. Note that if you are in the business of creating such marketing and sales material, you are guilty of breaking this commandment, just as the people you seduce are guilty. If in reading the above you've realized that you're breaking one or more of the commandments, you may find that initially you're breaking all of them. Pray as follows. Father, I realize that I've been breaking the commandment, name the commandment, in the following ways. Describe that. List all the ways you've broken the commandment. I recognize this now as sin, and I repent, and I ask you to forgive me. I ask you to show me all steps I must take to make right the wrongs I've committed, and to bring to my remembrance further instances where I've broken this, stroke these commandments. Once you've prayed this, you can then pray, in the name of Yeshua, I speak to all demons that are attached to me as a consequence of breaking these commandments or commandment. I bind these demons now and command them to leave me now and go where Father Yah sends them. Father, in the name of Yahushua, I ask you to send your mighty warring messengers to bind these demons, cast them out, and send them where you want them to go. This process will get rid of many demons that are oppressing you. Again, it's an iterative process. You will need to do this repeatedly over time. So notice that we've talked about the commandments after the immersion, etc. You could do the commandments before the immersion. It's a circuitous process. You need to loop through all of these things, and that's why I say it takes 7 or 8 days and do it really, really seriously. Loop through it and cleanse it, and you'll get a lot of cleansing very quickly that way. Then I want to talk about other personal demons. The above process of dealing with sin associated with breaking one or more of the Ten Commandments will get rid of many demons that may have attached themselves to you, but there will likely be others remaining, and it is likely that you will need to iterate through the entire cleansing process several times over a period of a year or more, or much longer, before you're entirely clean, depending on how energetically and how diligently you take action. This especially relates to how energetically you overcome sin. Note that there is no guarantee that you will get free. Very few people get totally free of demons, but you can get rid of most of them relatively easily. Other demons belong to specific principalities such as pride, fear, lust, confusion, mind-blinding spirits, etc. There's a set of teachings on the website that deal with many of these issues. There are also demons which gain their legal right through long-term bloodline curses going back many generations. Others are identified by their individual names, so you could be shown by Father that the name of a demon is almost anything under the sun. Do not be thrown by this. Simply speak to the demon as set out here. If Father gives you an obscure sounding name, do not concern yourself with the details. Simply speak to the demon by that name as you would with any other demon. So folks, there's some things you can do on a sort of macro basis to get rid of a lot of demons, but you've got to drill down to the detail. I learned fairly long into my deliverance process that a demon had been put on me in the nursing home where I was born, and I subsequently got to discover that that was actually common practice. There are witches, etc., who are nurses, doctors, and they put demons on. They take demons off people who've died and put them onto, and take the spirits of the people who've died and put them onto people under anesthetic, etc. So turn to Father to show you the names of specific demons or their job descriptions, and deal with them as you become aware of them by repenting of whatever sins are applicable, and then binding the demon by name and commanding it to leave using your delegated authority through the covenant of Yeshua. Thus, Father, I confess my sin of, discuss it, name it, and repent, and I ask you to forgive me. I speak to the demons associated with, name that sin, in the name of Yeshua, and I bind you now and command you to leave and go where Father Yah sends you. Father, in the name of Yeshua, I ask you to please send your mighty warring messengers to bind, cast out, and send where you want to go those demons, that demon that I've just named. If you're battling to get free, you can ask Father to refer you to a specialist in deliverance. But in this age, they're few and far between, and you may well have to battle on single-handed to get free. This is not such an issue as it sounds. You have Father to guide you, and as you gain experience and confidence, you will find that it is not so difficult to get rid of demons. The key piece is that you must deal with the sin that gives the demon the right to be there, and then it has to leave. So focus on cleaning up your life, and the deliverance will follow quite easily. So big piece here, folks. A lot of the people who minister deliverance don't do the right things in terms of where they send the demons when they come up. So they come back. If you've got a powerful anointing and you get rid of the demons from someone and they've still got sin, other demons will come back. So really important to do everything that's discussed on this broadcast. With regard to bloodline curses, the sin is not yours. The assignment was made in previous generations, and the associated demon or demons have passed from father to child or mother to child, generation by generation. Once you're moderately close to Father, ask him to show you bloodline curses that exist and how to deal with them. Generally, they must be spoken to by name, and the names can be complicated and obscure. Bloodline curses can also be recognized by recurring patterns of evil in a bloodline. For example, the firstborn is killed in an accident just before they turn 21, or some other very specific pattern. The mark of the beast. The mark is widely spoken of and widely misunderstood. It is a spiritual mark that is not visible to the eyes of living human beings, with the exception of a few with a gift of sight in the spiritual realm. The mark of the beast is not a microchip, notwithstanding numerous allegedly prophetic messages about the microchip. The mark of the beast is a mark that is given the moment that any believer breaks any of the Ten Commandments, such that the forces of darkness will obstruct any believer from buying or selling if they are without sin, thus making it very difficult for truly committed believers to make a living except through exceptional exercise of faith, emunah, trust and belief. And in the case of married couples, through deep harmony in addition. Coming back to the generation curses, I once read a report, Bob Larson, the book is In the Name of Satan. And he was ministering to a woman who tried to commit suicide and found that 13 or 14 generations ago, they had dedicated the firstborn to Satan on the 21st birthday. So on the 21st birthday, this woman climbed onto the parapet of a bridge and tried to throw herself off. Her husband tackled her, wrestled her off the bridge, got her back in the car, and brought her for deliverance. So these things can come to you from years past. Then let's talk a bit about cleansing your dwelling. It does not help you to cleanse your body, mind, and spirit if you do not cleanse your environment. Any artifact that has satanic significance in your dwelling gives demons a legal right to take up residence in your home or workplace and influence you and your family and others in the affected space. Any act in the dwelling or workplace by previous occupants that brought demons in and left them there will provide demons to interfere with the course of action that you've chosen in terms of drawing close to Father. These demons will shout at you in the spirit realm from the bookcases, the pictures, the beds, the walls, the floor, wherever they are situated, and they will do their best to lead you into sin and drown out the voice of the Almighty. It is vital that you get rid of them, and in the event that they are so deeply entrenched in your dwelling that you cannot get rid of them, you may have to move. Just by way of example, I mentioned at the introduction that I got into an adulterous relationship, and the way that happened was we moved into a new house, and 6 weeks after we moved into the new house, some things happened, and a few weeks after that, I got into adultery with my secretary. Some years later, after I'd had this dramatic encounter with Father and I started to learn about demons, I discovered that my office, which was a big room, it was a split-level house, and my office had been used for orgies by previous owners, and there were a whole lot of demons of adultery in the office. So basically, when we bought that house and moved into that house, the adultery was pretty much set up to happen. So you've got to be careful. Once you're aware of these things, you can go through, and if you move into a new property, you go through and cleanse it. Before you make an offer, you need to go through and discern if there are embedded things you need to get rid of. There are broadly three categories of demons in question here. First of all, demons that came in with artifacts. If before you reach this point, you or someone in your home brought in artifacts that have demons assigned to them, those demons will be in your home. These artifacts include books on mythology, the gods of foreign lands, tribal masks, totems, Buddha statuettes, other idolatrous statuettes, pornography, nude statues, artworks, sexually explicit books, and articles, etc. Books and articles relating to the occult, demonic, satanic, Wicca, witchcraft, Satanism, pictures and works of art relating to pagan temples, pagan symbols, documents and symbols associated with secret societies that have satanic associations like the Freemasons, etc., with blood oaths, crosses and crucifixes, remember that Yeshua died on a stake, a length of tree trunk, and not a cross. The cross is a form of Ankh, a pornographic pagan symbol representing a woman with her legs spread, penetrated by a penis. Christmas decorations, Christmas trees, Easter decorations, Valentine's decorations, Halloween decorations. On the Valentine's thing, a particular tricky one, the Valentine's red heart represents a sexually aroused woman's vulva, and the arrow is a penis. So this is only permissible between a man and woman in a lifetime sexual covenant marriage. Note that the vagina and penis have a direct spiritual connection to the heart, so that making love creates a heart-to-heart connection, both the one flesh bond and the love bond. And any other use of this symbol, red heart symbols, can attract demons, as is seen as lust in the flesh. So sending a heart to your friend or your child, or drawing hearts on things for whatever purpose, can attract demons. You need to be careful there. Then the second category, demons left behind accidentally or intentionally by previous occupants. For example, in a room used for an orgy, one or more demons of lust dislodged during athletic sexual coupling and left stranded in the room, or demons deliberately planted by Satan's servants who occupied the premises or when visiting. The house that I spoke about a minute ago, it was quite an old house. It was probably about 30 or 40 years old. And when I started clearing out, I found demons in just about every room. And then demons associated with artifacts embedded in the foundations, the walls, the ceiling, or elsewhere on the premises, and associated with curses, hexes, or other satanic or witchcraft assignments. And demons associated with blood from human sacrifices that has seeped into the materials of the building. These three categories of demons require different treatment. In terms of the third category, those associated with embedded artifacts, it will be necessary to locate and remove the artifacts and cut off the curses and assignments and cast out the demons. This can be a major activity and requires a very highly tuned level of spiritual discernment and guidance by Father to deal with. As a general rule, you would be better to leave and find somewhere else to live or work. So by way of example, in South Africa, we had a situation there where quite often the workers would be angry with the employer, the builder, and they would hire a witch doctor, and the witch doctor would come and put some artifact in the foundations of the house or the foundations of the offices or under the floor slab. And the curses would then be associated with that. The only way to cut that off was to actually dig those things out. So if they were embedded in the foundations, the only thing you could do is cover them with the blood every day while you get out of the place and sell and go and live somewhere else. Heavy stuff. So that's all for today. I want to just wrap up by asking you, what is the state of your relationship with the Almighty Creator? I'd like to ask you to critically examine where you are relative to the Almighty Creator. Do you talk to Him constantly throughout the day? and allow him to lead you in every possible way? Are you conscious of him at all times? Do you worship him at every opportunity? Do you count him your friend? Have you clearly and unambiguously heard him call you friend? If not, you're failing in your life purpose, and you will be bitterly disappointed when you die. So, folks, the sole reason we are here, the sole reason this planet is here, the whole sole reason the solar system is here, the whole reason the universe is here, is so that Father can have friends. He wants you to be his friend. He wants you to be interested in him. He wants you to talk to him. He wants you to listen to him. He wants to discuss things with you. He wants to be involved in your family. He wants to be involved in your business. He wants to be involved in every area of your life. And he will meet you wherever you are in order to do that. It's up to you to say, Father Yah, I come to you today and I desire to become your friend. Help me to become your friend. Show me what to do in order to become your friend. Bring the people you want to bring who can teach me to become your friend. Take the people you don't want in my life out. Open the doors you want open. Close the doors you want closed. So wrapping up, on the website, some key documents and a video on the main menu, web pages, compendium of important articles, video, Why Seek Relationship, Miracle of Yeshua's Death, Creator Desires a Deep Personal Relationship with You, Seven Components in Drawing Close to the Creator, Recommended Worship, The Creator's Name is Yah, the Eternally Self-Existing, Where Will You Spend Eternity, The Essence of My Message to Christians, and there's a similar one for Muslims and for Jews and for other religions and for people who don't believe, all available at www.endtimeissueministries.org, End Time Issue Ministries, one word. Transcripts of nearly all teachings in this series are available on the website at the bottom on the radio page. Recordings of nearly all of the teachings broadcast so far are available on the radio page, and they're all available at relationshipwithcreatorradio.com. Click on the show and then podcasts, or search on Google for quote Relationship with Creator Radio, unquote. Books constituting a compilation of most writings published since 1998 until May 2019 are available near the bottom of the menu at the compilation of most writings page. I publish regular email articles. Email james@endtimeissueministries.org to be added to the list or to seek counsel or prayer or to give me feedback. Weekly teaching Zoom calls every Saturday at 10:30 a.m. Eastern Time, USA, 3:30 p.m. UK time, 5:30 p.m. South African time on the Zoom link 703-237-1115, 703-237-1115, passcode 123484. Visit the website and use the Google search, article keyword cloud, table of contents, and article search to locate the information you're looking for. In closing, thank you for listening. Please send me your questions to james@endtimeissueministries.org. Please email me to join the mailing list, also at james@endtimeissueministries.org. If you decide to draw close to the Almighty, please let me know, and we can connect by Skype, Zoom, email, or telephone so that I can help you with your journey. I hope to connect with you again next week when we will continue to explore how to become a friend of the Creator. Work with me to make a way for Yeshua to return in victory at the end of the millennium and make his enemies his footstool. Folks, I can't stress enough. Father created all of this, created you and me to be his friends, people he could talk to, consult with, people who would be interested in his way of looking at things. And it doesn't matter what your race is, what your age is, what your financial position is, what your education situation is. Doesn't matter whether you've got black hair or blonde hair or gray hair or whatever. It doesn't matter whether your skin is black or brown or white or whatever. He wants to be your friend. He wants you to be his friend. And he will meet you wherever you are. If you come to him and say, Father Yah, I desire to become your friend. Help me to get there, as we prayed a minute ago. He will help you. He will guide you. He will bring people to you. He will show you what to read. You've got my website as a source of information. As I said, over 2,000 articles, 2,100 articles that you can read on all sorts of topics. Over 1,000 web pages that you can, again, read on all sorts of topics. Huge amount of information. You can contact me by email, and I will help you. So I really encourage you to go for it, and thank you so much. Good night. Father.